into an house and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, For this saying, go thy way. The devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out and her daughter laid upon the bed. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another day of life. And Lord, we are very thankful to have the health and the means to be able to get up and get ready and go to church. And Lord, I thank you for each one that's here. Thank you that we have this place where we can meet. Thank you that we still have the freedom to meet. And Lord, I ask that you bless each one that's here in a very special way. I pray that our hearts and minds would be clear and free from distraction, that we'd be able to focus our attention on the Word of God. And Lord, even if there's somebody here today who really didn't come for the right reason, I pray that you would still speak to their heart. And I pray if there's any decision that needs to be made here this morning, that it would be made before we leave. I especially pray if there's a soul here in need of salvation, that this day they would trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. Lord, I do ask you to please help me as I try to preach the message that I believe you put on my mind and my heart, and pray you'd give me liberty, clarity of thought and speech. Help me to say exactly what you want said. And Lord, help us to be sure that we always give you the glory and the honor and the praise for everything that you do. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In the verses we just read, we have Mark's account of when the Lord Jesus Christ delivered the daughter of a Syrophoenician woman from the bondage of an unclean spirit. And this morning, Lord willing, I'm going to use this story, which is recorded here in Mark chapter 7 and also over in Matthew chapter number 15, to preach a message titled, Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And this is a title, as you can see, that I took from verse number 28 in this passage. And as an introduction to the message, or to kind of lay a foundation for the main part of the message, there are three things that I want to point out about this Syrophoenician woman. First of all, I want you to look with me there at verse number 25, and I want you to notice the reason she came to the Lord. The reason she came to the Lord. In verse number 25, it says, For a certain woman, and we're not given her name anywhere in the Scripture, not in Mark's account or Matthew's account. We're just told she was a certain woman, and she had a young daughter, it says in verse number 25, who had an unclean spirit. She had a devil, as you see from other verses in this passage. And because of this, the Bible says this certain woman came and fell at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the reason that she came to the Lord was because of the condition of her daughter. Obviously, this woman is very distraught. She's very upset. She's greatly burdened over the condition of her daughter. And because of this condition, she comes and falls at the feet of the Lord Jesus. That is the reason she came to the Lord. A second thing I want you to notice here is in verse number 26, and that is the request that she made of the Lord. Not only the reason why she came to the Lord, but the request she made of the Lord. In verse number 26, it says, the woman was a Greek. So she's a Gentile. She was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation. Syrophoenicia was in the northern portion of Phoenicia, and it was close to Syria. This is where she was from, a Syrophoenician by nation. That was her nationality, in other words. And she besought him. Notice that. She besought the Lord. To besought means basically to plead or to beg. So she comes and falls down at his feet, and she begins literally to beg him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. So the request she made was that the Lord would deliver her daughter from the bondage of this devil, this unclean spirit. And then there's a third thing I want you to notice about this woman, and that is the response that she got from the Lord. The response that she got from the Lord. And I'm not talking here, I'll talk about this a little later in the message, but I'm not talking here about the initial response that she got. I'm talking here about the eventual or the final response that she got from the Lord Jesus. And this is seen in verses 29 and 30 of the passage. In verse 29 it says that he said unto her, for this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. The Lord promises that he has done what she wanted him to do. And verse 30 says that when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out and her daughter laid upon the bed. What was the response that she got from the Lord? What was the eventual response, the final response? The eventual response is that she got the answer she wanted. She got what she desired from the Lord. When she came with a specific request. That request was for her daughter. She begged the Lord to deliver her daughter from this devil that had her in bondage. And in the end, she got what it was she desired from the Lord. And this morning, what I want to do is I want to spend a few minutes, showing you from what is said here in this passage. Three requirements for having a deeper, richer, closer relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. A relationship where on a consistent basis, like this lady here, we see the power of God working not only in our lives, but in the lives of others. And my prayer, my hope is that everyone in here that's saved came here this morning with a desire, a hunger in your heart to have a better relationship with the Lord than before you came. That is the desire I have. If that is not why you came, then I guess I have a question as to why you're here today. I wonder if you don't desire to have a better relationship with the Lord than you have right now, why are you here? I would hope that's what we all came here for this morning, amen? I would hope we all came because somewhere down in our heart there is a longing, a earnest desire to have a deeper, richer, better relationship with Him than maybe we've ever had in our entire lives. A relationship that's real. One where we see regularly the power of God demonstrated not only in our lives but in the lives of people that we pray for. I hope that's your longing this morning. And in this passage, from what is said about this lady, I see three requirements for having that type of relationship. Three requirements for going deeper and having a closer relationship with the Lord. One where you're more effective, you might say, in your prayer life. Where more often you see the Lord answer prayers in the affirmative for you than maybe you have before. I see these things in the passage, and that's what I want to deal with in the remainder of my time. First of all, I want you to look with me here in verse number 25, and I'm going to be kind of going back and forth between Mark's account and Matthew's account because you really need to put both of those together in order to get the full story or everything that God has given us in the Bible about this lady. But the first thing I want you to notice with me is what I call her approach. Her approach. I want to talk for a few minutes about the way she approached the Lord. I believe our approach to God, our approach to the Lord when we come in prayer, whether we're praying for ourselves or we're praying for somebody else, I believe our approach, the way we come to Him is critical, absolutely critical in the outcome of our praying. So let's pay attention here to her approach. First of all, here's what I see about her approach. I see that she approached the Lord with humility. She approached the Lord with humility. The Bible says there in verse number 25 here in Mark's account that when she came to the Lord Jesus Christ, she fell at His feet. That is a sign of submission and humility. She doesn't come in pride or arrogance. She doesn't come demanding anything from the Lord as if she believed she was worthy of Him to do anything for her. She approaches Him in humility and falls at His feet. And I believe if you're ever going to get closer to the Lord and have a deeper relationship, and especially if you're going to get Him to answer the request that you make in the affirmative more frequently, you absolutely are going to have to approach the Lord in humility. If the Bible is clear about anything, it's clear that God hates pride. Let me be clear myself, God hates any form of pride. It doesn't matter what kind, whether it's religious or otherwise, God hates pride. He hates it in me. He hates it in you. And the Bible says this. The Bible says that He resisteth the proud. Isn't that what it says? It doesn't say He draws near to the proud. The Bible says He resisteth the proud, but He giveth grace to the humble, the Bible says. The Bible says this. It says He's near. Are y'all listening this morning? We're talking about getting closer to God. He's near to them that are of a broken and a contrite spirit. Those people that are in a position of humility in their life, the Lord draws up real close to those kind of people. But He will every single time resist those that are full of pride in their heart. So first of all, I see here her humility in her approach. Another thing that I see, and I'm going to move on through this so I don't run out of time, but not only did she come in humility, I see that she came genuinely. She came genuinely. How many of you understand and believe this morning that to have a sincere relationship with the Lord, you have to be real with God? You can't play games with the Lord. He knows everything about you, right? And He doesn't want you playing games and pretending to be something you're not or acting in a way that's not real. You have to be genuine. When you approach Him, you have to come in sincerity. You can't be fake and pretentious, putting on some air, trying to project some type of image that isn't real. You got to be genuine with God. And being that He does know everything about us, I can't imagine for the life of me why any of us would ever try to pretend to be something that we're not. But whenever this lady came, she came genuinely. It doesn't say that specifically, but I want you to notice she comes right up in here amongst all these people and just prostrates herself right at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what I see in that? I see a woman that's genuine. She didn't care what anybody else in that crowd thought about her. She wasn't worried about having some image in the eyes of the people. She was real. She was genuine with the Lord. And if you're expecting to get anything positive from God, I can tell you, you're going to have to come in genuineness. Here is a third thing I see. Not only did she come in humility and genuineness, but I see that she came persistently. She was persistent in her approach to the Lord. In Matthew's gospel, in Matthew's account, chapter 15, verse 23, this is the Lord's initial response. Now, y'all pay attention to this. When she first approached the Lord and asked him to take this devil out of her daughter, you know what the Bible says that he did? That's interesting. The Bible says in Matthew 15, 23, that he answered her not a word. You know what that means? He ignored her. He acted like she hadn't even said anything. That's what he did. He answered her not a word. And how did that affect this woman? Did it cause her to become discouraged, to get upset, to get bitter, to walk away and say, I can't believe he didn't give me the time of day? Is that how she responded? Well, listen to this. The Bible says that she continued to cry out for help. In that same verse, Matthew 15, 23, it got so bad, the disciples came to the Lord and said this. They said, send her away, for she crieth after us. You know what that means? Basically, without just coming out and saying it, they're saying, Lord, she's getting on our nerves. Really? Just send the woman away. Tell her to go away. She's bothering us. She just continues. Even after the Lord did not say a word, acted as if she said nothing, she doesn't give up. She keeps on and she keeps on and she keeps on to the point that it bothers and agitates the disciples. And if you look right here in Mark's gospel, Mark chapter 7, when we read, you see that even after the Lord's initial words to her, when he finally does say something and doesn't really say what she wanted him to say, she still doesn't give up. She is persistent in her request of the Lord. Whenever you come to God, your approach must be made in humility. It must be made genuinely. And you have to be persistent. Just because you don't get what you desire the first time you pray doesn't mean you need to stop. Doesn't mean you need to get discouraged and give up. I think about where it says he answered her not a word. Has anybody in here besides a preacher ever prayed about something and prayed about something and prayed about something and it seemed like God had nothing to say to you? Been like that before? Well, I think all of us, if we're honest, have sort of been in that type of situation where we prayed and prayed and it just seemed like he wasn't listening. What you have to do is be persistent. You have to keep on. Keep on coming and keep on asking and keep on requesting of the Lord. You have to be persistent in your praying. This includes praying for a better relationship with him. I'm not just talking about praying for some physical or material need to be met. Those obviously are important. But even when it comes to your spiritual condition, the longing that you have to get closer to the Lord, be persistent in that. The Bible says, he that diligently seeketh good procureth favor. That's what the Bible says. He that seeketh diligently, diligently. If you keep on and you keep on, eventually there's going to be some good, positive result that's going to come from your faithfulness to seek the Lord. So if your desire is to get closer to him, if you have that and it seems like it just isn't going on, don't give up. Don't give up. Keep praying. Keep praying. Be persistent. And here's one other thing that I see about her approach that I think is very important. She came in humility. She came genuinely. She came with persistence. And she came trusting. She came trusting. When this lady came to the Lord Jesus Christ, down in her heart was belief that the Lord could heal her daughter. She believed that. And how do you know she had this belief, this trust in her heart? Well, in Matthew's account, Matthew 15, 28, the Bible says, Jesus speaking to her, go, thy faith, he acknowledges her faith and how it was her faith in him that brought her to that place, and he honors and rewards the faith of this woman. When she came, she showed up believing. I just wonder. I'm not making any kind of accusation. This is as much for me as it is anybody in the congregation, but I just wonder how much real faith we have whenever we approach God about anything. I just wonder. And does it really matter? Does it matter at all whether we have faith when we approach God? Does it? Well, the Bible says without faith it's impossible to please God, right? And it says he that cometh to him must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So yes, it very much matters if you have faith when you approach the Lord. Matter of fact, in James chapter 1, it tells you that if you're not going to approach in faith, you're better off not to approach at all. Don't think you're going to receive anything from the Lord if you do not approach him in faith. You have got to come to God in faith, trusting that he can answer whatever the request is you have. And I understand this. I do understand there are times when the situation is just the way it's going to be, and we can pray and we can pray and we can pray, but God has decided what he's going to do, and that's the way it's going to be. I understand that. But I've often wondered, how many of our prayers have not been answered in the affirmative for ourselves or somebody else because of a lack of faith on our part? You take, for example, when we're praying for God to heal somebody of a problem. I guess if we were all real about it, we'd have to admit that sometimes a person has such a horrible physical condition that when we pray, we sort of feel like that situation's not going to be changed. That's just the way it is. And it may be the way it is. But I'm still believing right now that the Lord can heal anybody of any problem, no matter how bad it is. I believe that. Now, it's his will as to what he chooses to do. But I believe, and I don't want my prayer to go unanswered because of a lack of faith on my part. I want to be sure that when I approach the Lord, I come believing in my heart that he can do what it is I'm desiring him to do. Whether I'm asking for myself or I'm asking for somebody else, I want to have the faith I need to get the Lord to move in a positive way concerning my request. This is all in her approach. But here's a second thing I want you to see about this lady. Not only her approach, but her acknowledgement. Her acknowledgement. Now look at verse number 28 in this passage. Matthew 28, the Bible says, she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. When you go back to Matthew's account, you find two times there where she refers to Jesus as Lord. Now what that shows me is that this woman, at least twice anyway, acknowledged the lordship of Jesus Christ. She didn't see him as just a man. She saw him as deity, as the Lord Jesus Christ. This woman saw what the religious leaders of the day could not see. This woman, who was a Gentile, by the way, a Gentile, had more sense than many of God's chosen people. The Bible says in John chapter 1 that he came unto his own and his own received him not. It says he was in the world and the world knew him not. There were many within God's chosen people that never were able to recognize the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, including their religious leaders. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, all of those religious people, you don't find hardly any of those religious leaders that ever recognized the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. From their perspective, he was nothing more than a man. As a matter of fact, most of them thought he was a liar and a deceiver. And they did not care anything for him whatsoever. Matter of fact, they hated him. They hated him and believed that he was nothing more than a liar and a deceiver and a man possessed with an unclean spirit. That's what they said of him. They said that he casted out devils by the prince of devils, Beelzebub. That's the religious leaders and their perspective on the Lord Jesus. But here is a simple Gentile woman whose name is not even recorded in the Bible, who was able to see what those religious people could not see. She saw the deity of Jesus Christ. She recognized that. I tell you what religion will do for you, friend. Religion in and of itself will blind you to reality. Religion alone will blind you to the truth of the Word of God. It will blind you to who the Lord Jesus Christ truly is. And you see that evidence in these people that I'm talking about. But this woman here was able to see beyond his exterior. See, those religious leaders and people were just looking on the outside, and to them, he looked just like a regular, ordinary man. But somehow, some way, this woman who wasn't blinded by religion was able to look beyond his exterior and see down on the inside and understand he was not just a man. This was the Lord Jesus Christ. And she acknowledged his lordship. When she spoke to him, she didn't speak to him as a man. She spoke to him as God. She acknowledged the lordship of Jesus Christ. And I believe that if you're ever going to get into a deeper relationship with the Lord, be closer than you ever have been, you must absolutely acknowledge his lordship over your life. Now listen to what I just said. I'm not just talking about us as a people saying we believe he is God. How many of you in here this morning believe Jesus Christ is God? It was God manifest in the flesh. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. God manifest in the flesh. I believe he's God. But I'm not just talking about us collectively saying yes, we believe in the lordship of Jesus Christ. That's not really what's going to draw you into a closer relationship with him. I'm talking about you as an individual, me as an individual, acknowledging and recognizing his lordship over our lives. That's what I'm talking about. Getting to that place in your life where he's more than just your Savior. Y'all following what I'm saying? There is a difference between him being your Savior and him being your Lord. There's a difference in that. And there are people the world over, all over the United States of America, that at some point in their life, they have recognized that they were lost, recognized that they were on their way to hell, and knew that Jesus Christ died for their sins, was buried and rose again, and that's the only way to go to heaven. They have had that experience where they came to that realization and they trusted him to save them from hell. They did that. And that's a wonderful thing, amen? God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's a great and a wonderful thing when any lost person comes to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But friend, that's just what should be the first of many steps that a person takes in their life. And I want to say this, you'll never have a full, rich, deep, meaningful relationship with him if you live your Christian life and he never is any more to you than your escape out of hell. You following me? You've got to get to that point in your life as a Christian, as a saved person, where you recognize and acknowledge his lordship over your life. Where you see him as Lord and you submit yourself to him. You let him be in absolute control of your life. That's what him being Lord of your life is about. And that's why I say there's a big difference between just being saved and him being your Lord. You can live your whole Christian life, and many saved people do. They live their whole Christian life, and they never get beyond the point of Jesus being their way out of hell. That's where they live their whole life. And that's not what God wants from anybody who's saved. You know what he wants, what he desires, his will? Well, obviously he doesn't want you to go to hell. He wants you to trust his son. But let me say this. He wants to have. You understand that? And there's nothing deep or heavy. He wants to have absolute control over your life. And by the way, I feel like he deserves that. Don't you? But I'm telling you, the only way you're ever going to get deeper, get closer, be able to see more of the power of God demonstrated in your life is for you to submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. You got to get to that place where you say, as we sing in the hymn book, I surrender all. Will you wave that white flag? You don't hold on to any area of your life, anything. And this is how we are a lot of times to save people. We'll give up this and we'll give up this, but there's some area or areas of our life where we just don't want to let go of that. What I'm telling you is if you want to go deeper than you've ever gone before, get closer to him than you've ever been, and him get closer to you, and be able to see the demonstration of his power in your life like you never have, you have to sell out lock, stock, and barrel. Surrender completely to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Here's a quick question. I'm going to go on. Is there, and you be honest with yourself, that's the only way this is going to do you any good, is every area of your life right now, every area of your life surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ? That's how you get to a better relationship with him. Here's the last thing. I'm out of time already. Her approach, her acknowledgement. The last thing I see here is her agreement, what I call her agreement. It's one of the, I just love this passage of Scripture here. The Bible says, verse 27, she's come now and she's asked the Lord, begged the Lord to cast this devil out of her daughter. But notice verse 27, Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled. In this passage here, when he says the children, he's talking about the children of Israel, God's chosen people. He says, let them first be filled. And then he says, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. Now, you know basically what he's doing right here? And there's no need worrying about it. I get sick and tired of these people that try to apologize for God. Let me tell you something. He doesn't need your apology or mine or anybody else's. He'll call you whatever he wants to call you and won't ask your opinion and won't even care what you think about it. You understand? So I'm not going to worry about being politically correct. I'm going to tell you what he did. He called that woman right there and all Gentiles dogs is what he did. That's what the Lord did. And right here is where most people get off the ship. Right here is where people, this that locks it down right here, because they just cannot handle the truth. They just can't handle it. But the Lord says, first of all, the children need to be dealt with first. They're the priority, and then you Gentiles. And then he calls them dogs, which is the way the Jews referred to Gentiles anyway. They referred to them as dogs. But look at verse 28. This is amazing. And she answered and said unto him, what? Yes, Lord. Yes. You know what she does? She agrees with him. She doesn't get mad. She doesn't get angry. She doesn't say, how dare him? How dare him put one group of people above another? And how dare him call me a dog? How dare him do that? Many people right here would have walked away. Many people leave church. They come to church. They hear the truth. They get out because they just can't handle the truth. A lot of people come with these preconceived ideas and notions about things for whatever reason. But then when they're confronted with truth, especially truth about how God does things and truth about their true condition, they just can't handle that. And they go away from it. And many people never get closer to the Lord because they simply won't agree with God. They just won't agree with the Lord. Let me remind you of a passage of Scripture in the Old Testament. The Bible says this in the book of Amos, can two walk together except they be agreed? You know what the implied answer to that is? No. What that means is if I'm going to be able to walk closely in fellowship with the Lord, me be close to him, he be close to me, if that's going to happen, then guess what? We got to be in agreement. Is what that means. But now here's the thing you got to understand about agreeing with God. It ain't ever about him agreeing with you. So we get that thing messed up, you know. We think it's, you know, 50-50. I agree with him, he agrees with me. No, it's 100% on you to agree with him, because he's right all the time. He's never wrong about anything, you understand? So it's not about him agreeing with you, which is kind of how people are. They choose a way of life, a way of living, a way of doing things, and they come to church or they want to have a relationship with God, thinking and hoping that he'll agree with the choice they have made. I've told you before, down through the years, many times, I've had people call me for advice and counseling. That's hard to imagine anybody would want counsel from me, but I've had people down through the years call me for counsel and advice, and this is what I've seen far more times than not. I have seen that when they get there for advice, they've already made up their mind. All they're doing is hoping that I'll agree with the decision they've already made. And when I don't, they get mad. They don't like what I have to say. And that's exactly how a lot of people are with God. They expect God to agree with the way of life they've already chosen. But it's not about God agreeing with you. It's about you agreeing with God. And until you agree with him 100% about everything, you'll never be able to walk closely with the Lord. Now look at this thing here, and I'm just about done. She agreed with the Lord when it came to his way of doing things. When he said, let the children first be filled, when he said the priority is going to be my children, the people of Israel, he's putting them above the Gentiles, which is something that you see throughout the Bible, by the way. You see that throughout the Word of God. But when he does that, she's all right with it. She says, yes, Lord, I don't have a problem with that. She agrees with the Lord's way of doing things. Let me ask you this. Do you agree this morning with his way of doing things? And the truth is, God does a whole lot of things that we don't understand. And if we're all honest, we would admit he does things we don't even like. Right? We don't even like the way he handles certain things. But if we're going to have fellowship with him, we have to agree that his way of doing things is the right way. And it is. She agrees with that. Not only that, but she agrees with his description of her. She's all right with it. When he calls her a dog, she's okay. She accepts that. You have to agree with God on everything. And I'm going to close with this. I was thinking, in preparing for this message here, I was thinking about biblical examples. And the Lord brought to my mind a fellow in the Old Testament, a king by the name of Naaman. Naaman. Or a captain by the name of Naaman. Naaman was a leper. He had leprosy. And leprosy is one of those things that if you don't get some healing, you're going to die. It's a fatal thing, in other words. So he has this, and he's going along. He's a great man, a mighty man, all that stuff, but he's a leper. He's dying. He's literally rotting to death. That's what's going on in his life. But there's this little Jewish maid that's been taken captive, and she tells somebody that she knows somebody that can help Naaman with his problem. So they go and they tell him about this man of God in Israel that can help him. Naaman gets a whole bunch of stuff together, a bunch of people together, and he goes down there, and you know who he goes to? He goes to Elisha, prophet of God. And he comes in there, and Elisha says, this is what you do. You want to be healed of your leprosy? You go down there, and you dip 7 times in the river, and you'll be healed of your leprosy. You know what that fella did in the beginning? You know what he did? He got mad. God's way of him getting what he needed in his life was to go down to that river and dip 7 times. He didn't like that. He didn't like God's prescription for his problem, so he got mad and he got upset. And you know what he did? He actually, in the beginning, turned around and started to leave. How dare that man? I'm going back home. But finally, one of his servants was able to talk some sense into him and convinced him to go do what the man of God told him to do. And when he went and did what he was told to do, marvel of marvels, guess what happened? He got what he needed. But that fella almost missed out on the power of God in his life because he didn't like the way God did things. There's a lot of people right now. They're missing out. They're missing out. They could be so much closer to the Lord. They could see His power so much better. He could be so much more real in their life. But they just don't want to agree with God. You got to sell out. Surrender. Give it all. Let Him make the decisions. Do in your life whatever He chooses to do. And then you can be closer to Him. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. Thank You for letting us be in church. And Lord, I thank You for the truth of the Bible, and I pray, God, that You would help each one of us in here to search our hearts, to be sure that there's no area of our life that's not surrendered to You, that You have absolute control, that You are the Lord and Savior of our lives. And Lord, I pray You would help us to always agree with You. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.